Hey, good morning. Once again, everyone, it's so great to see you here. See a few new faces, or at least a few new eyes from here up at least, but so glad that you're all here this morning. We actually have a special treat since it is Father's Day. It's something a little different. We have Bob Felder coming to bring God's Word to us this morning. You know, last week was our Missions Sunday, where we pray for and kind of highlight the different missionaries and the different ministries that we support as a church. And Bob Felder is one of those. He's a longtime friend of our church. He works with the Waves Campus Ministry through Miami-Dade College, through a couple of different campuses there. And so it's exciting to hear how he's been doing ministry, even during the midst of a pandemic, and especially now during the summer. It's a kind of an off time for students. But he's been planning for some great things in the fall. And looking forward to kids coming back and to jump-starting things in the fall of his ministry. So, Bob, it's so great to have you bring God's Word to us again. And with that, let's all welcome Bob Felder this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Russell. Well, good morning. You know, before we started singing, there were only like three people here. And I'm like, maybe they shouldn't have announced that I was going to be sharing. Maybe more would have showed up. But praise God. You're an encouragement to me already that you're here sitting. It's always good to be here, always good to be back at Chinese Baptist Church. And we do go back quite a ways. I'm actually in the picture of the 40-year anniversary. If you look in there, my wife and I are in that picture. So praise God for our relationship that we have with you guys. And it's always a blessing to be asked to come and share from God's Word. I take it, I count it as a privilege. And hopefully, since I've been given the clicker, I cannot blame anybody else but myself as we go forward today. So today I'm going to talk about a little bit John 14:6, a passage that we all know of, but I'm going to try to tie it into Father's Day a little bit here. But let's read this passage, then we'll pray and we'll go forward. Okay, John 14:6, this is what Jesus said. He said, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true and alive, and that the words of Jesus are just, if not more, applicable today than they ever were and are in the entire existence of this planet, Lord. So we thank you we can be here today. We thank you we can look at your word, and Lord, we do pray that we wouldn't just hear your word, but we would look to put these words into practice, Father. Give us a renewed perspective in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. How many of you guys have a father? Okay, we just covered that. Okay, and how many fathers do we have? We have some fathers here today. Okay, a couple. How many children do we have? Abe, you have three children? How many? Russell? Two? I've got three girls. And it's true once they say, once a parent, always a parent, right? I mean, my wife, this morning, she talked to all three of my girls. One's 31, one's 28 this week, and the other one is 24. So you're always that parent. It's always a blessing to be a parent. Abe, did your children get you anything for Father's Day this morning? Anything yet?
Not yet.
Nothing yet? Russell, I know your children are littler. Did you get them already?
Yeah.
Praise God. So I haven't even gotten a call yet, nothing like that. They talked to my wife. You know, one daughter had to be talked off the ledge this morning about something and everything. Didn't even say like, oh, by the way, wish Dad a happy Father's Day and stuff. And I want to let you know, the Bible is true, what it says here. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Part of the job of parents is training up our children in the way they should go. And ultimately, Jesus is the answer to how we should train up our child. Now, I didn't get any gifts for Father's Day yet. And I want to let you know, I don't need any gifts. Now, don't tell my children that, because they'll follow through. They won't get me anything. But I'm at the age, you guys are younger than me, Abe, younger than me, and Pastor Russell. I don't need any more stuff, right? I mean, the heart gifts, that's what you need, right? But I got enough stuff. I'm trying to get rid of my stuff. Drive by my house anytime. I'll open up the garage door, take some stuff. Just take it, because I got too much stuff in my house right now. And I'm at that age where I'm, you know, my father passed away. My wife's mother and father both passed away, and we've been in that process of clearing out stuff. And I don't want to burden my children with that at the end, man. I want to be like, you know, oh, yeah, everything a dad just fit in this nice little shoebox and send it on away. So I don't need more stuff, but it's important that we understand gift giving and also receiving gifts. And so I want to talk a little bit about today briefly and then tie it into the bigger picture is not so much fathers, what you want for Father's Day, but what would you give? What would be the gift you would give your children for Father's Day? Here's some of the things that the world may give, and maybe you, these aren't necessarily bad things that we would give for Father's Day. Education, all right? Education is a great gift that you can give your children as they grow. The gift of education, it can lead to prosperity. It can lead to security in life. That's all good things. The gift of wealth. If you've ever been to a wealth advisor or a financial advisor, they usually sit you down in that process and they go, okay, here's the different steps. The first step is like making sure you can exist in your old age. And then they go, okay, then you want to be able not just to exist, but to be able to exist on the same lifestyle that you live now. And then finally they pyramided it to you have this, to you leave money for your children. You know, they're kind of this whole idea of this thing, and that's kind of a good thing. You want to take care of your children to a certain degree. That can lead to comfort. That can lead to influence. There's nothing necessarily wrong with having stuff. We can give our children a certain lifestyle, especially if we didn't come from a certain lifestyle. My father would tell us, he didn't tell these stories often, but occasionally, if provoked, he would tell a story about how he was growing up and his lunch was ketchup sandwiches, two pieces of bread and ketchup in between, and that the only toys he ever remembered having were made out of cardboard, that somebody, a neighbor, would put them together and draw some things on cardboard, and those were his toys growing up. And he came up, and as we as children, we never experienced having that kind of lifestyle. He gave us a better lifestyle, and we appreciate that. And also passing down morals to our children, good, solid morals. But ultimately, the answer to everything is Jesus. In our own personal lives, in our families, the answer is Jesus. And also for the world, the answer is Jesus. All right? I don't know if you know this, but the world is becoming more and more unhinged. You know where the word unhinged comes from? Okay, a door, right? A door is on its hinges, and it closes and opens when it's on its hinges, nice and orderly. You take a door off its hinges, it's chaos, okay? There was a movie out, I didn't see it, with Russell Crowe, called Unhinged. He was crazy in this movie, did some bizarre stuff. And I don't know if you know this, but this world has become unhinged, all right? It is going crazy. I can look at my phone right now. I was looking at this just yesterday, and I have a story here. Go to my news feeds, and it says, police, Florida man pulled gun on chief's daughter over cream cheese. Did you hear about this? At Starbucks, all right? Here's a guy who pulled his gun out because he didn't get cream cheese on his bagel. That's unhinged, all right? You can look at all kinds of things on the news continually, and you'll find people that are unglued, that life is going crazy for. Just this last year, two things happened to me over COVID that are really kind of bizarre. I'm going to take this microphone off for a second. Just kind of walk over here. So I coach a cross-country team, and so I was out in the fall, and this is one event that happened to me. I was over at A.D. Barnes Park, which is a really little park over off Bird Road and I guess maybe 72nd Avenue, something like that. Anyway, I was setting up a course for our kids to run, and I was talking to one of our assistant coaches. He's standing right next to me, and we're kind of just measuring the course off with our GPS watches. And I was right on the edge of maybe an 8 to 10 foot wide asphalt path. And so I was walking on the edge of the path, and my assistant coach, he was walking on the grass. And so we're just walking along, and we're kind of figuring out the course. And so this guy is coming down the ways a bit. He comes over this little bridge. There's a little creek that ran through there. He comes up over the bridge, and he's, like, running right toward me. And, like, he's got, like, 8-10 feet over here. And I'm, like, right on the edge because I'm thinking, you know, we're going to do the course. We're going to mark it out. And I say to the other coach, I said, this guy's going to run right into me, joking around, right? So I'm standing there, and sure enough, he comes right to me and just goes, bam, like as hard as he could, trying to knock me over. And I'm like, you know, just like going, whoa, what's up with this guy? You know, so I'm like, this is kind of unhinged. Now, A.D. DeBarnes is not a very big park. So 5 minutes later, I see him again. And I'm like, what do you do now, right? This guy is kind of off. So he comes by me again because it's not a very big park. And he says, you got something you want to say? I'm like, no, but you did run into me. He says, good. And he just kind of keeps going. So I'm like, all right. So 10 minutes later, I see the guy again sitting on this bench in this park. And I'm like, okay, I have to go by this guy in this bench because this is the way I'm going. What do I do? Do I walk way around the bench? Do I turn back around? What do I do? You know? And I'm like, I guess I'm going to walk by the guy. So I go to walk by the guy, and I say, and we both say at the same time, he says, hey, man, I'm sorry. And so I sit down and talk to him, and he tells me about all the stuff that's going on in his life, you know, with COVID and his workplace and how this, that, and they're trying to get rid of him at work and how he's got his father and his wife and his baby and all this kind of stuff going on. And I was able to pray with him right there. But that's just a case of people getting unhinged all around us every single day. And just two weeks ago, and you guys got neighbors that play loud music? Now, some of you guys got, like, huge yards, so it doesn't matter, man. They're playing loud music. You don't hear them because they're, like, miles away. But, you know, I'm kind of in that kind of basic middle-class neighborhood where you can, you know, you talk to your neighbors on the other side of the fence and stuff like that. We got a neighbor who plays loud music. It's not right behind us, but we live one house from a corner. So it's if you went to the corner house, which is next to ours, stay in front of us, and on the other side it's that house. Now this house, the people in this house are not really stable. But anyway, long story short, this one girl in the house, older girl, she's in her 20s probably, she has some issues. I mean, it's probably some mental issues, maybe even some kind of possession going on and stuff, just some stuff that, you know, long story. So anyway, you know, you kind of wrestle with, do you tell them to turn down the music? Do you call the cops? What do you do? Do you just put up with it? So it was like the middle of the day, but it's been going on for like days, boom, boom, boom. And so, you know, who do you want to have your wife mad at with you? No. Happy wife, happy life. So I'm like, okay, I'll go over and talk to these people. They're probably rational people. So I walk down to the corner. I turn down the street here, and so I'm looking at the sides of the properties, and there's a fence going down the side, but there's my neighbor right here. I continue walking, and there's a gap in the fence. I don't know if some car hit the fence or they're fixing the fence, but there's like a 10-foot gap in the fence. So I go, I can see the girl sitting on the back patio listening to the music. You know, it's, and so she can't really even hear me, but she can see me. So I just kind of like wave, and I said, hey, could you turn it down just a bit? Man, the father comes out, the mother comes out, they come out like storming right out at me. They start, I've never been called those words before in my entire life, as old as I am. People probably thought those words about me, but I've never been called those words. They came right out to me. They accused me of assaulting their daughter. They say, get off my property. I'm like, I'm standing on the sidewalk. I'm not on your property. And they threatened, the guy's threatening to beat me up and all, and I'm going like, come on, man, you're going to hit me. And it's kind of trying to like, I probably should have rebuked him in Jesus' name. I just wasn't thinking quick enough. But this thing was going south. And they're like, we're calling the cops. I'm like, no, I'm going to call the cops. No. I'm going to call the cops. So we're both calling 911. And the thing kind of diffused itself because it was sent to one of those, you know, non-emergency calls. Now, to me, it was kind of an emergency. But I didn't use the word gun or shots fired or anything like that. Or anything. So anyway, I end up going home. Anyway, long story short, it kind of diffused itself. The girl in the back, I think, was eventually Baker acted, and I don't know. But the world is becoming unhinged. I mean, like, where does that happen? I was not expecting that. So you look back on it, you go, it's kind of an amusing story, but things happen all the time. If you just line up with any news feeds. Up in Connecticut, there was a very wealthy neighborhood, very well-to-do family. The mother ended up taking her daughter's life and then took her own life. This was just last week. Our world is crazy. So what's the answer to our world? What's the thing that's going to fix our world? You know, it's certainly not the stimulus package, right? Everyone got money, right? Most, you should have gotten some money. If not, you know, call Joe Biden or Kamala, see what you can do. But everyone got some money, right? Well, you thought like, hey, man, this is going to help. No, we still live in a crazy world, right? Science, you figured science was going to be the answer to the world? That, yes, we've got these COVID experts, the Center for Disease Control. They're going to be able to fix things. We'll have it. No, we found that science doesn't have all the answers. We found that whatever it is, everyone goes through a lot of stuff, and our world is really on the edge. And so the best thing that we can give somebody, fathers, children, the best thing you can give is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in the passage before, it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. Jesus said, I am the way. You know, back when Jesus said that, in fact, we'll go to that passage in just a second. I want to get too far ahead of myself. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the vine. He talked about how he was everything. Jesus was everything. And the only thing that can save us is Jesus Christ. Here's the passage I wanted to get to. This is what it says in that whole passage here. From John 14, 1 through 6, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. And you will know the way to where I am going. And you will know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You see, Thomas said, how do we know the way? Where are you going? And Jesus said, no. I am the way. I'm not just pointing the way. You know, all other religions, for the most part, they point the way. They say, hey, this is the way. Follow this path, and that will get you to where you want to go. But Jesus said, no. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The way to peace, Jesus Christ. The way of wholeness and joy, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the truth, not I am one of many truths. You know, sometimes people go, well, is it fact or is it truth? Or what is that lie? Is truth is subjective? No, Jesus basically said, no, I am the truth. I am the truth. And I am the life. I am the life. Claims that nobody made before. Jesus said, this is who I am. Jesus is the answer to all the world's problems and anything that is going on with you and your family. The only answer is Jesus. Whether it's in a school, whether it's in a workplace, the answer to whatever is going on is Jesus Christ. There may be some short-term fixes and things like that, but the answer is Jesus. And the reason why I bring that up is because your call as a father, as a son, as a daughter, as somebody who is in this world is much higher than we could ever imagine. Our calling is not just to go to a certain school or play a certain sport or play a certain instrument and get a good job and all this kind of stuff. It's kind of like the story about the guy who some missionaries saw this guy laying on a hammock on some island, and he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't working or anything like that. And the missionaries say, sir, you know, what are you doing just laying on a hammock? And he says, man, I'm all set. This is it. They said, no. You need to get up out of that hammock, and you need to get your act together, and you need to, like, go to school, and we'll help you go to school and everything. And they're telling him about school. And he says, what, man, why do I need to go to school? He says, so you can get a good job. And he says, why do I need to get a good job? So you can get a nice house and a nice car, and then so you can retire one day and stay on a hammock in the beach. And he's like, I'm already there, you know? It's kind of, I'm already there. I'm doing all that stuff right now. But we kind of get on this treadmill of our lives, and we think, okay, this is what we need to do. We need to get going in this passage. And none of this stuff is necessarily bad, but if we lose perspective on what really is important, then we can miss out on God's call. We can get to the end of our lives, and God can go, well done, but you've missed the point. You've missed the point of life. And the point is what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Why is that? Well, that's because Jesus is the only way to be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. It says it right here. It says in Acts 4:12. Now, in Acts 4:12, in Acts 3, Peter and John are like preaching. You know, they're preaching the gospel. So they were accosted, taken away, and then they're taken the next day before the religious leaders. And the religious leaders are basically telling them, hey, stop preaching about Jesus. And they basically say this, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Be saved. See, the problem with the world isn't that it doesn't have enough money, or it doesn't have enough science, or it doesn't have all these other things. The problem with the world is that they don't have enough Jesus. We don't have enough Jesus. And that word saved, I like the idea of the visual illustration of being in the water drowning. All right? If you can't swim and you're in the ocean or in a lake or in some body of water and you're drowning and a boat comes up to you and reaches down and they say, we want to rescue you. And you reach up and say, save me. And you are saved. That's what Jesus does for us. It says there's no other name under heaven whereby we can be rescued. We are lost. We are lost without Jesus. Our world is lost without Jesus. We're going downhill. And the only answer to the world's problems and to our problems is Jesus Christ. We can be saved. And that's the gospel that Peter and John committed their lives to, the good news of Jesus Christ, where these same religious leaders said, stop telling people about Jesus. And they said, we cannot help but tell what we've seen and what we've heard. This is the truth, and we're going to preach it unto our deaths if necessary. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, Paul reminds us of this. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be rescued. So every day, every moment, I want to encourage us to wake up and go, God, how can you use me today to help in that process of rescuing a lost and dying world? Yes, we have all the other stuff that comes in the way. You know, I've been there sometimes too. You know, you see a car broken down by the side of the road, you know, and I'm not talking about some, you know, some big guys that look like he beat you up, but say maybe some woman with like a couple kids in the back of a minivan screaming broken down by the side of the road, and you're like, should I stop? Should I go? Should I stop? You go, man, I'm going to be late for church if I stop. You know, keep right on going. You kind of miss the point, right? Maybe God has you come along to be in that part of the plan of rescuing people. We never know how God wants to use us in a bigger way than what we can imagine right now. Why? Because this is not our final place. This is not our final place. This is like waiting at the bus stop, waiting for the bus to come by and take into our final destination. We're just here at this bus stop for a relatively short period of time to be getting other people on the bus. Now, the only way we can be restored, Ephesians, Paul talks again in Ephesians, he says this, in him we have redemption. Redemption, that redeeming, that restoring of a relationship. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses or forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. You know, God is in the restoration process. Have you ever watched that show, American Restoration? You ever seen that show, anybody? See, I don't have cable, so I get all the old reruns and stuff like that. Only the things that, you know, and the story of American Restoration about these guys who people bring them junk, like an old beat-up Coke machine or some kind of thing like that, or an old bike or a motorcycle or car. They bring it to them and they go, restore this. Restore this to like it was new. And, you know, the guy's an expert. They sandblast everything or whatever they do to it, and they make it look new. And they have it all covered, you know, like in a big thing like this. Now, remember when you brought us that beat-up old thing? Yeah. And they go, here it is now. And they go, wow, I couldn't amaze. Of course, it's a TV show. What are they going to say? Oh, man, I'm really disappointed. But they go like, wow, that's amazing. This is awesome. And, you know, that's that restoration. That's that restoration that only Jesus brings, that we're restored back to our original look. You know, the sin messes us up. We look like some rusty, old, corroded thing. And Jesus takes us and restores us to like new once again. We become that new man, that new person, that new creation that we're totally, you know, we just are different. And that's why the answer to the world's problem is Jesus, because he's the only one that can restore us. I'm sorry. Now, the gift, all right? We talked about gift earlier. What gift did you get for Father's Day? All right. What do you want to gift your children? What do you want to gift your family, your friends? If you had to give them a gift, you know, I can think of all kinds of stuff. You know, a new car, be nice, all this kind of stuff. This is what it says here. It says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace that you have been saved through faith, it is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. The gift of God. A gift is undeserved, okay? A gift is unmerited. At Christmas, you give your children gifts. You get gifts in return. You get gifts, whatever the gift is, but a gift is something that you don't, if you had to pay for it, it wouldn't be a gift, right? Have you ever done that? You know, sometimes with my grandmother and stuff like that, we would fight over gifts. You know, you try to give them something and they would want to pay you for it. Did you ever have a grandmother like that? Nobody? Okay, well, you know, I would take my grandmother grocery shopping. She lived maybe like, and when we were up in New Jersey, she lived like maybe like 5 or 10 miles from me. And about once a week, I'd take her grocery shopping. And she'd always try to like hand me like $5. You know, like she'd always hear, take it. No, take it. No. And you go like, okay, give me the money. It's because you don't want to get in this argument with her. I see that with my mother today too. My mother will be like, no, I want to pay. I'm like, don't. Okay. So with one of my grandmothers, I would just sneak back up to the house and put it in the mailbox up by the house, the money. And so I thought she was getting the money out like every day and every week and just not telling me about it. After about like 2 months, she was going like, you put that money back in my mailbox. So it's like that whole idea that, no, I want to give you something as a gift. I want to take you shopping as a gift. Not even want to be paid for it. If I'm going to get paid for it, it's not a gift. See, the gift comes from the heart. The gift is love. And God says, I want to give you the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. And he holds it out to us. And it says, whosoever believes in the Lord shall be saved. Shall be rescued. That gift of eternal life. Now, this is something that if you've been in church, you've known for years. This is not new teaching. This is something that's pretty basic in the Bible, but we need to understand as believers in Christ that's the high calling and that Jesus is the only answer for the world's problems. He's the only answer. He's not going to, other things are just temporary patches on things. Jesus is the only answer for our lives, for our neighbors' lives, for our nation's lives, for our planet. The only answer is Jesus Christ. In Mark 8, 36 and 37, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet he forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Everybody on the planet needs Jesus. The answer is Jesus. We know rich people, poor people who are going through the exact same stuff as everybody else, through divorce, through tragedy, through death, through all kinds of stuff. Everyone's going through the same stuff. And the Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Gain the whole world, yet lose your soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for your soul? If we stand before God one day, he's going to say, I don't know it's going to quite break down like this, but he's going to say, hey, why should I join heaven? And you go, here's all my money. Here's all my stuff here. He's going to go, you know, you're bringing me gold? That's what we got. That's pavement up here in heaven. You know, that's worthless to us up here. The bigger purpose for us here, the greatest gift we can give, whether it's a father or a child or a neighbor or a coworker, the greatest gift we can give somebody is Jesus Christ. So I want to conclude with this. Maybe you're here today, and you've never asked to receive that free gift of eternal life that Jesus brings. Jesus basically says, listen, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Just like with that person drowning in the ocean, if Pastor Russell were in the ocean drowning, and I came up to him and I said, hey, Russell, I want to save you, but you need to swim better. What's up with that, right? He's going to say, I swim better. I can't swim better. I can't. Well, I can't save you until you swim better. No. I would come to save Pastor Russell because he needs to be saved, and he would do the same with me. That's what Jesus did. Jesus reached down and says, I want to save you. And we can even in our own mind go, you know, I'm not good enough. God, I can't even forgive myself. How could you possibly forgive me? And Jesus says, No. It's a gift of God. It's a gift. I came. I died for your sins. I rose again. I conquered that. And I want to give you a gift. And I'm just reaching down. I want to encourage you that if you've never reached up and say, Jesus, save me, today is that day. Today is the day that Jesus can become the answer in your life. Also, too, I want to encourage each one of us here. I try to do it most days, not every day, but I want to encourage you to each day say, God, how do you want to use me for your kingdom today? How can I be about sharing that gift with others today? You know, sometimes we get up, I don't know if you're like me, the day just starts going, right? There's not too many people that I know go, all right, I get up at 5, and I spend the first hour in a quiet time with God, getting direction. Then I go to a gym for another hour, and then I take on the world at about 7:30. No, usually it's like, whenever I try to get up early, does this happen to you? You go like, I'm going to set my clock early to tomorrow morning to get up extra early. Have you ever done something like that? I just need to get up early. And, you know, when I do that lots of times, the next day, you know, you say, well, the alarm goes off early, you hit the snooze. No. I just turn off the alarm. I go to myself, what in the world was I thinking? You know, was I crazy the night before? I have no idea. And so sometimes we just get on that rat race. We just keep going and going. But I want to encourage you, just start today and say, God, I'm your servant. I'm your child. You rescued me. How do you want to use me today? How do you want to use me? Just use me today to advance your kingdom. And I believe God will do that. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, no, not one. And he wants us to be a part of that process. So as we pray, I want to encourage you just to just kind of respond to God on your own. As I pray, just say, God, how do you want me to respond to this message today? Maybe it's through asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You just say, God, I can't save myself. I'm so messed up. Thank you for coming and saving me. And reaching up and saving him, or just to make a commitment to make that prayer to God. Or maybe God's putting on your heart someone today to talk to, maybe restore a relationship with somebody, maybe a father or son. Maybe God wants you to do that. So however God would cause you to respond, let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time that we've been able to get together. We thank you. Lord, I thank you that Bob is not the way, Bob is not the truth, and Bob is not the life, because I would be leading everybody down the wrong path, Lord, and I would be a mess without Jesus Christ. And I'm still kind of messed up, but I would be a mess without Jesus Christ. I thank you that it's not Buddha doesn't point to the way, Muhammad doesn't point to the way, but I thank you that Jesus is the way. Thank you, Lord, that you came and you surrendered your life and you gave your life for us. You sacrificed yourself for us. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to see just the magnificent gift that is, and truly that Jesus is truly the answer, not only for this world, but for our own lives, Father. Lord, I just lift up anybody here today who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who is struggling with questions. Lord, I pray that you would help them to see that Jesus Christ is the only thing that can answer the questions of their lives. Lord, I thank you for other people here. Lord, I know many are believers and strong followers of you. Lord, I pray that you would encourage them and strengthen them in the faith. Lord, I do thank you for our fathers. I thank you for the heritage. Lord, whatever that is for each one of us. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But I thank you that you gave us the fathers that you did as an example, Lord. And where our fathers have fallen short, maybe. Lord, we thank you that you're that perfect father for each one of us. And we just thank you. We thank you for this time that we've had together. And Lord, we just pray that you would, as we sing, that you would just open our hearts and show us how you'd like us to respond to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brothers and sisters, those who are worshiping with us at home, I invite you to sing this next worship song with me to remind ourselves the story of our Father and also to know how to tell others about him.